From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Presently, he's dealing with the Epistle of James. He has shown that James builds on a solid doctrinal basis, presenting a well-developed revelation of God, of Christ, of the Holy Scriptures, and of salvation. The epistle reveals that James was concerned about the place of the church in the world, particularly regarding the opposition believers faced from the ungodly. In addition, he was much burdened about the influence of the world upon the church, warning the Christians of the dangers of worldliness and its many manifestations. The theme of the epistle may be stated in simple terms. Godly practice is the identifying mark of godly people. In other words, true faith will be exhibited in works of faith. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, James, Faith That Works. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Valiant for Truth. The text is Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Lord is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. Those who enlist under his banner shall have a commander who will train them for the conflict and give them both vigor and valor. The times of which Daniel wrote were of the very worst kind, and then it was promised that the people of God would come out in their best colors. They would be strong and stout to confront the powerful adversary. Oh, that we may know our God, his power, his faithfulness, his immutable love, and so may be ready to risk everything in his behalf. He is one whose character excites our enthusiasm and makes us willing to live and to die for him. Oh, that we may know our God by familiar fellowship with him, for then we shall become like him and shall be prepared to stand up for truth and righteousness. He who comes forth fresh from beholding the face of God will never fear the face of man. If we dwell with him, we shall catch the heroic spirit, and to us a world of enemies will be but as the drop of a bucket. A countless array of men, or even of devils, will seem as little to us as the nations are to God, and he counts them only as grasshoppers. Oh, to be valiant for truth in this day of falsehood!
Sad and lonely, a guilty sinner too. I heard the voice of Jesus say, there is room for you. I took the Master's hand and I joined his chosen band. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord.
friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand.
Being in distant lands I trod.
Crying, sinner, come to God. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, my Lord.
I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I surely would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
How often have I told you the story of the church in London, where a poor man, actually he had been a man of some substance in society, but drink had brought him down to be a homeless wretch, abandoning his family so that they didn't know where he was, just about to throw himself in the River Thames. They heard the bells of a church ring, and the thought came, maybe God could do something for me. Maybe there's something in this business of church and Bible and gospel after all. He made his way to that church with its ringing bells, unshaven, no doubt stinking with booze, dirty. The usher took him and put his arm around him and just turned him right back out and said, find another church. You see, we're nice people in here. If this book of James is the word of God, he's gone, for this was in the late 1940s. At the latest, the book was written in the 1940s, so I can't give you the date. So he's probably in eternity by now. But if this book of James is right, they were not Christians, they were hypocrites. And hell is the home of the hypocrite. Took a Methodist minister who made it his practice to put away his clerical garb, to put on the disheveled and the torn and the tattered rags of the homeless. And those were days when work was very, very hard to come by. And he would get out and stand in the food lines, and he would get out and stand in the work lines just to make contact with people who were down and out, to give them the gospel. It was he who came along, spoke a word to him, and that night led him to Jesus Christ, and in very short order reunited him with his family. That's what James is talking about. That's worldliness. Now, there's a place for rich men in the church. Philemon was a rich man. There's a place for every Philemon in the church. And there's a place for poor men in the church. And the place for all men in the church is at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's the place. And we ought never to forget it. Then there was the worldliness of the sins of the tongue. If you study this book, you'll find it's a book that goes to great lengths to deal with the sins of the tongue. The first half of the chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, are really on the sins of the tongue. Set on fire of hell. How accurate James is. He says, with the same tongue you bless God and you curse men. With the same tongue, you bring forth all that glorious sweetness as you sing the praises of heaven. As you read the Bible, you sound like an angel. But that very same tongue spews forth vitriol and wickedness and ungodliness and uncleanness. These things ought not so to be, he tells us. In chapter 4, he takes it up again in verse 11. Speaking evil of another brother. That's worldliness. And then chapter 5. And in verse 9. Grudge not one against another. The word grudge is do not groan or murmur one against another. That's worldliness. Then there's another form of worldliness that you'll find it at the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? He's now speaking of wisdom. He's talking about our thinking. And in verse 15, let me start verse 14. He says, if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This thinking is not from God. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is devilish. And he goes on to expand on this at the beginning of chapter 4. This is the carnal thinking that leads to violent disputes among the people of God. It's worldliness. And then this worldliness will show itself in yet another way at the end of chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get green, whereas you do not know what will be in the morrow. Worldliness is a boastful carelessness and arrogance concerning the future. God is shuffled over to the sidelines. Christ and His gospel are put away in the background. It's my life, what I plan, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to give, how I'm going to get this and get the other thing. The Apostle James says, that is worldliness. You don't know what's going to be in the morrow. Your life's just like a vapor. It appears for a moment or two, then it's gone. You ought to remember, when you're thinking about today and tomorrow, it is if the Lord wills. And if He doesn't, you can stand in your head, it will not be any different than He wills it. That's what James is saying. That's worldliness. But most of all, this whole book is dealing with the worldliness that he raises in chapter 1 from 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Right through the passage of Scripture we have been reading today. What is this worldliness? It's a profession of faith that did not work. In other words, a failure to put into practice what they profess to believe. Now, that was worldliness, and that was what James was concerned about. Here are his two concerns into the church. And addressing these twin concerns, James expounds his central theme in a very simple but very far-reaching manner. Let me rephrase the central theme as I gave it to you. I said that godly practice is the identifying mark of God's people. Let me put that in a slightly different way, and you'll see how James is arguing here. He's arguing that a living faith produces a faithful life. A living faith produces a faithful life. You see, James was scandalized, utterly scandalized, by a profession of faith that allowed the professor to have low standards of personal behavior. James could not accept the reality of a professed Christianity that sounded good in church, but let a man rake his way through the muck and the mire of sin for the rest of the week. He was scandalized by that. He says that's not Christianity. He refused a Christianity that was a mere lip service. And so, as he does this, refusing this, he makes three very simple points that I'm going to draw to your attention now. First of all, he makes the point that we are justified only by a faith that works. Now turn with me to chapter 2. We read this morning, but verse 18 is the key to the passage we read. I say, no doubt if you're, as most of you are, well acquainted with the Apostle Paul and his writings, this passage sounded rather strange. But the key is verse 18. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Can you show a man your faith? Well, try it. How do you show me your faith? I can't see your heart. I can't see your mind. You can't show me your faith except by your works. James is saying, I will show thee my faith by my works. The word by is actually out of. I will show thee my faith out of my works. James is speaking of works that flow out of faith. That's what he's talking about. Works that flow out of faith. He is speaking of a faith that produces works. He is not saying we're saved without faith. He's saying we're saved by faith that produces works. He is not speaking or arguing in any sense against the Apostle Paul. He's not speaking of a man who's unsaved, working to merit the favor of God and enter into justification by virtue of his works. No, he's speaking of people who profess to have been justified by faith. And he argues, if you do not have good works to prove your faith, then you do not have any justifying faith at all. That's his argument. Now, his reference to Abraham proves that this is what he means. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Notice, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, recorded Genesis 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Follow this carefully. Verse 22, he says, faith was working by his works. I'm giving you now a literal word-by-word rendering. Faith was working by his works. And from his works, faith was perfected. Or out of his works, faith was perfected. Verse 23, he refers to Genesis 15. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But remember, that occurred before Isaac was born. And James is saying, Abraham was justified by his works when he offered Isaac up upon, or was willing to offer him up upon the altar. Years later. Now, think this through very carefully. What happened in Genesis 22 did not occasion Abraham's justification and acceptance with God. It was occasioned by Abraham's justification and acceptance with God. James's argument is very simple. It is, Abraham's faith was a working faith. He believed God, Genesis 15. Years later, of course, not only years later, all the time intervening, but years later he was put to the test. He had faith. How do I know he had faith? Because faith worked. That's how I know he had faith. He says, Abraham's faith was a working faith. Therefore, it was a living faith. Therefore, it was a justifying faith. That's how James argues. Because a faith that does not produce works is dead and useless. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, underline the say, that's profession. What does it profit, though a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Now here's a question. Can faith save him? I think the force of the original is much stronger than that, simply, can faith save him? That's not the question really that James is asking. The question he's asking, there's a definite article in there. And the construction of the sentence is such, there are two ways of asking a negative question in the New Testament. One is to phrase it in such a way that the question is saying, I expect the answer no. The other is phrased in such a way, I expect the answer yes. Now this is phrased to expect a negative answer. The question then is, a man says he has faith, but he has no works. The question is, that faith cannot save him, can it? Surely not.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.